You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, J.D., joined this week by the two Chrises. I don't get to say that very often, the two Chrises, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely. We left that behind when we added Nicole, but Nicole is not here! Because she's bathing a child. I mean, she's at a baby shower.
Oh, wait, no, yeah, that's the, yeah.
That's the thing. I always get humans. I mean, people, I'm not an alien. this week, it is Fanboy Versus, not the Bieber baby, because we are not Bieber babies.
Was it a Bieber baby?
No, apparently there was a rumor that he had impregnated some person, but.
I heard about it, but I don't really care. So
I don't either. I just thought it was the best tweet
like
I saw.
Like any good sane person.
I know. The best tweet I saw out of the whole thing, and this is pretty much for American audiences, but was that I haven't been following Twitter very closely, but I think that Herman Cain got Justin Bieber pregnant. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so it is Fanboy Versus, and we talk about comics on this show. Oh, yeah. Oh, mention real quick one thing before we get started. It is National Podcasting Month, I guess, is what they're calling it. So we have this whole cool thing going on the TF Radio Network where every day we are posting a podcast. So if you're part of our feed, you're getting a podcast every day this month. It's very exciting, very cool. If you have any suggestions, let us know because we've got a few blanks. We'll fill them in. Enjoy the plethora of audio that you will receive from us this month.
How about a podcast on shrimp?
Like eating shrimp?
Just like, shrimp. I mean, isn't
we'll just call it the Bubba Gump podcast? That'd be fantastic. Believe me, there's all kinds of nutty ideas that we threw out there. That email chain alone is pot of gold stuff there, people. Anyway, so there's some cool stuff. I think we are going to do a commentary for Dark of the Moon, so that should be fun. Anyway, news. Chris McFeely, what's the news? What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
What's up? Well, there's a couple of things going on this week. I guess predominantly, just a day or two ago, there we got the sales report for the month of October, and it is total DC domination.
Sweet.
Now they took market share last month, but just by a tiny bit. But this month, let me just get the actual. Yes. 51% of all units sold in October were DC.
Wow.
50?
Yeah. 50.97.
Wow.
51% basically of all units. And that's not just like out of DC and Marvel. That is like everything. Periodical sales.
Wow.
What this actually means is that sales have, on the second issues, or in the second month, risen on the first month. And that is
virtually unheard of. That's like contradictory what my comic shop was telling me. They said that their sales had gone down to the second issue.
Wow.
Well, that's probably in comparison to their this month. See, these figures this month also include all the second printings of the first month issues. So obviously that they are very high as a consequence of that. And certainly, I mean, I think everyone's initial orders, the orders that the stores placed 2 months ago with Diamond, will have been lower than their original initial orders for September. But we'll see how many people demand more printings and more copies of everything that came out in October next month. You know, things are still on the rise here. We're only 2 months in. You know, it's nowhere near finding its level yet. So they had literally, 17 of the top 20 books were DC's, with Incredible Hulk number 1, Fear Itself number 7, and Wolverine and the X-Men taking the other three slots.
You know, here's though what I'm concerned about, and since, you know, you have a shop, you can kind of fill us in on it. What I you know, what I'm concerned about is that, yes, these initial order numbers are great for DC because, you know, but those are all pure orders. They're not sales off of the shelf. So, like, the thing that I'm concerned about is, like, when I went into my shop, I can see now that they have a lot of, like, issue one, issue two reprints sitting on the shelf. So, I mean, what's your experience with that? Or, I mean, are you doing a good job maybe of keeping track of those reprint orders so that you're not having a lot of those sit?
We're going quite gentle on the reprints. We're just basically ordering to demand on the reprints, so I can't comment too much on the wider implications of it. But basically, I mean, you know, yeah, these are straight orders. The sales figures for every month are just the number of orders placed by retailers. It's not literally the number of copies sold. The second printings, of course, are not returnable the way the first printings were. You know, the very fact that they have to order such large quantities of second printings says enough in and of itself. You know, a lot of those will have been ordered to demand, and you know, some places probably will have ordered more than necessarily they will sell. But altogether, I mean, it's all positive. It's all
good. It's good.
And the important thing to take note is that this is very much a case of a rising tide lifting all ships, because Marvels are not down. Because it's not ebb and flow. Marvel sales haven't fallen because DC's have risen. Marvels are up a bit too because people are in shops buying.
Right,
that's what's going on here. This is good.
I guess that advertising really paid off, because you saw those advertisements like all over the place for the new 52.
Yeah, and I think it is getting more people in the shop, and I think, hey, these are good. You know, some people even realize apparently that comics have words in them. tweet I saw from our own Chris McFeely earlier this week, but
yeah, that was something. That was a new one.
That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, I think it's good. Like I said, my only concern is, like, you know, the shops are like, oh great, now I got sales, and then they order a bunch, and now they're gonna sit. That's my only concern, because shops are really. So I think the smart shops are the ones like that are that are ordering to order. I just, like, I look at my shop and I see this whole shelf of like reprints. I'm like,
well,
I hope those
I'm playing it quite cautiously. I'd freely admit that I'm actually under ordering for the third month and fourth month, because I anticipate that some of the people who have set up pools will let me down.
Yeah, I think that's when you're gonna see
a little flyby nightishness. So I have underordered. And frankly, if they do come in and all turns out well and they do still need them, it certainly there's been no trouble getting a hold of anything thus far. Even from the second month, Diamond UK have been able to supply everything, first printing from the second month. There hasn't been any issue there. So,
yeah. I mean, well, you know, and I kind of had said this before the show, but, you know, I got JLI and I got Action this week, and we're going to actually talk about Action later. But, you know, and it just kind of feels like some of these are in, like, that middle of the run, you know, where kind of now we're starting to... I noticed in particular, like in my JLI issue, we're kind of just getting into like actually explaining who these characters are for people that don't know. And so that's where it's like I'm concerned that we'll start to actually lose readers, because when it doesn't have that like initial punch, you know, some people are like, oh, it's not exciting. Mm. Okay, well.
I can safely say that my level of interest in even just picking up and leafing through the comics that I don't get has already dropped off to practically nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I leaf through an issue of Hawk and Dove just to see how god-awful it is.
Yeah, it's... But, cancel 26 on the way, kids. We don't have any cancellations announced yet, though, out of the 52.
Not yet, no.
So.
But that's far too soon to announce that. Yeah. I mean, OMAC's the lowest-selling one of them, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of cancellations...
OMAC has had at least a positive critic, but OMAC's had a positive critical response, but there are other books that are selling a little better that aren't just... You don't hear anybody talking about Captain Atom, for instance.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a Captain Atom book.
Yeah, there is a Captain Atom book.
I know.
Exactly. Exactly.
That and Voodoo are the only two titles that we're just not getting any of, because nobody wants it. Nobody's ordered it.
Yeah. So
that even Grifter is selling.
So speaking of cancellations, though.
But yes,
Marvel.
Speaking of cancellations, we've had a couple out of Marvel now. These actually happened last week, but you didn't talk about them when I wasn't on last week. We had word that Iron Man 2.0, that has been cancelled with issue 12, or is going to be cancelled with issue 12. I don't think anybody is truly surprised there. It will make it the third time that a War Machine comic book has been cancelled since Secret Invasion. Yeah.
Nobody wants not Iron Man, huh?
even within it, in the name and the title.
So it's War Machine, but it's called Iron Man, right?
Yeah, it's War Machine. Yeah, well, it's called Iron Man 2.0, but it's about not Iron Man.
That's
so.
Misleading. That's misleading.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's literally, it is patently an attempt to actively deny. It's one of those things where Marvel just really wants to hold on to the character and really seems to feel that they deserve to have a series when the sales and everybody says otherwise. And it's like, right, well, War Machine, right? Iron Man, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., was turned into a War Machine book during Secret Invasion. And then it got cancelled after like 3 issues. But they were probably going to do that anyway, to be fair. And because then they launched the new Invincible Iron Man and War Machine as the new ongoing series. War Machine ended within a year. And here's another War Machine again. But there's no other way to say it. They tried to trick people into buying it by calling it not War Machine.
Right. Yeah. No. Iron Man 2.0 doesn't sound like War Machine. It sounds like Iron Man. And they canceled it.
I was going to say, why does Iron Man need 2 books? Oh, he doesn't, because he wasn't in the second
book.
Right, because
that's not...
The other ones are a little weirder. Alpha Flight was announced to be upgraded from a miniseries to an ongoing a couple of months ago. It's now been downgraded back to a mini again. It'll be ending with issue 8. Again, that seemed like a bit of... it seemed like a bit of gun jumping to me, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of fun.
And what's the other one? One really bad one is, All Winners Squad, and I won't blame you if you didn't even know it existed, was an 8-issue miniseries coming out at the minute, focusing on the Golden Age heroes. And it's just been cancelled with issue 5, which just came out. And that's it. Like, the information copy for the retailer said issues... 6 and 7 and 8 or whatever, like they have been cancelled. This is now a 5-issue miniseries, but it isn't actually. It's just stopped. It's just been cancelled with a cliffhanger and everything.
Wow.
You know, they're not. Yeah, that's really bad. Like, how badly must that have been selling to be canned so hard?
It's like the next issues will be the second miniseries.
And then the one that we actually heard this week, which is the one that fills me with rage, is where the Nick Spencer and Becky Cloonan's Victor Von Doom miniseries has now been cancelled before the first issue is even coming out.
Yep, that's gone. Huh. Yeah, I just read that this morning.
The word "why" on that has not actually come out properly. There's been some back and forth and some rumor mongering of an unpleasant nature. But
editorial stuff, or
it was something I'm bleeding cool about an unfounded rumor. We'll leave it to the side.
Oh, it must be true then.
Yeah. No, it's just, it seems that Marvel is just doing a bit of downsizing, frankly, which is not a bad thing. You know, if they can cut they're still publishing like 60 superhero titles. So if they can cut it down a little leaner.
Way too many miniseries. I think that's not good.
And do we have any light side numbers on like Fear Itself and that? I mean, as far as how that did, especially comparing it to sales for.
It's disappointing to me that the things that have to suffer are the fringe titles like this, though. And what have we just had? We got our fifth or sixth ongoing X-Men title, and we're about to get a new Spider-Man spinoff in Scarlet Spider in a couple of months. Yep. When the market has proven that it doesn't support Spider-Man spinoff books over the last couple of years,
and we're going to have a not Thor title as well.
Yeah, that's the weird one. I don't know what's going on there. You know?
We haven't talked about that, I don't think, have we?
What are you referring to?
Tenaris, or whatever that is, that's taking over Mighty Thor.
This new character is taking over Mighty Thor, which can surely only be for a couple of months at most, or a story arc at most.
Yeah, but that's still kind of like...
Thor is a film next year.
Yeah, it's so this completely unknown character that's going to be a placeholder character until Thor comes back. Which was my whole problem, which is a whole nother problem that's coming out of this, like, Fear Itself end, which is just, like, fantastic. You've killed off 2 characters, one of which you immediately announce is going to come back, and the other, which absolutely has to come back within the next few months just because they have a movie coming out. Good job on the, you know, seeming value of those things, but anyway.
Speaking of Fear Itself and follow-ups. Fear Itself 7.1 came out this week, and none of us bought this, so we're not going to review it, but we do have to touch upon the news that came out of it. I'll just let me set you a scene, if I may. I have the order has arrived in store. I'm unboxing it, checking it off. You know, oh, fair itself, 7.1. Let me just take a quick look and see what happens in here. It's the eulogy for Bucky, at least maybe. Because I've said it before, you know, I was, when we reviewed Fair Itself number 3 or 4, like, I wasn't happy. I'm not particularly attached to Bucky, but I wasn't happy. And I think I said on the show how a couple of weeks ago I read Captain America No Escape, the hardcover collection, which is the last Brubaker story before the book split into Captain America and Captain America and Bucky, you know, essentially the end of that thing, which ended with the revelation that Bucky had finally found a challenge ahead of him that was his own, and he could be his own man, and he didn't have to be Captain America anymore, and try to atone for his mistakes by taking on someone else's quest and someone else's guys and goal, and he could actually go out and do things in his own name to correct his own past. And then he died. And I was...
So he was going to quit being Captain America?
Yeah, well, that was the point awesome. of the point of the No Escape story was that, well, he was the things he'd been through over the course of the last 2 arcs had left him too tarnished to be Captain America anymore, and he discovered that there were still Soviet super weapons, superhumans, in stasis, hidden somewhere across the Americas. And it was going to be, since this was his mess from his Winter Soldier days, his Cold War days, this was his to clean up, and he could finally atone for his past directly and in a very real and personal way, instead of just taking on someone else's mantle and goal to try and atone for himself.
Becomes Winter Soldier again, and you rename the book Captain America 2.0.
I see what you did there. That's very creative.
Well, so then he died, and the complete lack of attention that his death has received has also been a sticking point for me. Even though I'm not a huge fan of the character or anything, but there was just something that was massively annoying about it to me. You remember when I talked about the Secret Avengers issue, which seemed like it was going to touch on it for a while, and then it didn't. Cock teeth. But then Fear Itself 7.1 came out, and I'm like, well, at least this is the eulogy issue for Bucky. So there I am, comic in hand, people from across the shopping center turned and looked in my direction upon the noise that emerged. Like that I hoisted the comic aloft and paraded around the shop, cheering, when it turned out Bucky ain't dead!
What?
Yep.
Yeah,
really? I mean,
that was him in the fight. It was him in the fight, but he managed to survive the injuries. And Nick Fury swapped out an LMD that he'd prepared because of the events of the last Captain America storyline, which was then buried. And only Captain America, Nick Fury, and Black Widow know that he's still alive and out there. He is now out there on the road again, following up the plot thread about the Soviet super weapons. Winter Soldier, number one, next year. I'm gonna buy that.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Couldn't they tell you this in one of the issues of Fear Itself? Why did it have to be a point one?
You know? Because in isolation, because those won't be collected in the Fear Itself trade paperback. So in isolation, they wanted to try and make the deaths have punch and mean something. No, they completely failed in that regard because they were awful.
Yeah. But,
yeah, and it was also Brubaker, too, that wrote this as well. So.
Oh, it was Brubaker, yeah. I mean, I'm just so happy I was able to get a hold of this in my hands before the news had even hit the internet and not be in any way spoiled or not have any reason to flip into. It was like, even if you weren't spoiled, all the headlines on the news sites were like, new series announced in Fear Itself 7.1.
Yeah, I knew before it came out. That's how I knew I wanted it, because I was like, oh, cool, new story stuff, you know, so it was like, seemed like this was going
to
be valuable.
But I didn't even know that. I didn't have any reason to even believe there was any real significance to this beyond the fact that it was probably going to be about eulogizing... Excuse me, eulogizing Bucky, and hooray.
Yeah,
I'm very happy about that, and I will actually buy Winter Soldier. I may go for it in trade to keep up with the way I've been collecting all the Brubaker's other Cap things in trade, but I'll definitely get it.
So Brubaker's doing the Winter Soldier book also? He's just going to
keep doing it? I'm sure probably what's happened is he'll drop off Captain America and Bucky and Mark and Draco will take... writing that solo.
Well, good for that, because I already dropped off a Captain America and Bucky myself, actually.
Now, what'll suck is that they'll actually cancel doing that Winter Soldier, and then they'll just decide that Bucky is dead, and that will just be moot.
He was an LMD the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
No, hopefully not. Well, that sounds good. That should be fun. But how many people will even realize that? Because you'll have to have read the 7.1, I guess, to know that.
Well, Marvel, it was loudly announced across the news sites on Wednesday morning. It wasn't a leaked thing by Marvel. It was actually just people posting it. Actually, Ed Brubaker got a little bit annoyed about it on Twitter.
Yeah, I did see that as well. He was pissed. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't. In fact, he was just tweeting about how old school comic book readers don't like digital. So he seems a bit old school, which is cool and all. But anyway,
so, I bought some digital comics. They were okay.
Yeah. See, we try to be cutting edge here. Anyway, so is that it? The news?
Yeah, that's all the news. There's nothing too major. Just a couple of bits and pieces this week.
That's good stuff. Like I said, we missed some of those cancellations and stuff last week, but we like to talk about that with you as well. So, all right. Well, then on to reviews. It is. We're going to start with the amazing Chris Triplett.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or maybe. The uncanny Chris Triplett.
The uncanny Chris Triplett. Yes.
Or from the cover of this, the Regenesis Chris Triplett. I'm talking about Uncanny X-Men number one, by the way. Regenesis is what they put at the top of. They're putting that at the top of all the X-Men books, aren't they? It's like the thing, I guess, that they're calling all of the new stuff that's going on.
The storyline as we get back to mutants coming back, maybe? I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
No? No more, still no mutants. I read this.
You read it
as
too.
An amazing thing that happened.
Read it briefly.
So, you read Wolverine and the X-Men. You said you liked it.
Yep.
And then you decided to pick this one up too.
Yep.
So, do you plan on keep on getting the books,
nope.
Or is this like just nope? Okay.
Nope. I mean, it was cool and all, but I can't say I was like. Oh my god, I gotta read this. You know, this is just interesting. Yeah. It's just something that I'm so far out of that I don't feel like this pulled me in enough. It was like I was trying to go back and read History on Hope, and I'm like, oh god, I'm so far behind. I don't know what the hell is going on.
I gave up. I almost tried to go back and just learn everything about Hope, and I decided I give up. She's like, just there.
I don't know who this character is. I'm not invested, and it seems like this character should be important, and I just can't even do it.
I decided that when this character actually pays out, I'm sure they'll give me the backstory, so I'll be
okay. I hope
so,
yeah. Cause maybe when that's important, I'll care. But,
so, like, I got this issue, too, because, like, I wanted to get both of them, and I think I'm going to keep getting them because I think that it's probably – despite what you thought, maybe like a good starting point anyway. Because I thought Wolverine and the X-Men was a great starting point. I was...
Oh,
well,
no.
I strongly contemplated picking up Uncanny because Kieran Gillen. But I've just had so many books lately that I decided not to. Oh, and it turns out, of course, that Victor Von Doom is canceled and I'm one book down this month and maybe I could have. But here we are now and I didn't get it. Yeah. But I did look over it.
Well, don't get me wrong. I do think it does sound like a good jumping on point. It just didn't do it for me, which doesn't mean it's bad. This was just like, this is cool. I can't get on this.
It's not the fun X-Men book. It's the serious. It's like the shit just got real X-Men book, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, because like the whole school atmosphere stuff is what I'm drawn to in Wolverine and the X-Men. Because I think that just like from reading like those classes at the end of the issue, and this just sounds like a book that's going to be fun. And like with Uncanny X-Men, it seems like. I mean, it could be fun, but it could be fun more in the, you know, all the big important X-Men stuff is going to happen in this issue. All the big important stories, you know, the life-changing, you know, we're going to save the Earth type stuff, I guess, might be Uncanny X-Men. And it kind of starts out that way because, like, Cyclops, at the beginning of the issue, it kind of, you know, introduces us to where they're in San Francisco, and we get the information about where we were talking about before the show about the Celestial... You stand, which I saw the Celestial and I had no idea anything about that. I thought I'd missed an issue or something. And I was like, what the hell is a Celestial doing just standing over San Francisco?
There were so many things in this where I'm just like, it sort of feels like the X-Men are out of their league. What the hell are they doing?
Well, I guess that's the thing about Uncanny is that it is very much picking up from where the X-Men have been for the last couple of years with their story, whereas Wolverine and the X-Men is very much a brand new setting and everything for them.
Yeah. It's like the Uncanny X-Men, they're in San Francisco. Wolverine and the X-Men, they're back to their roots. They're back in the X-Mansion. They just rebuilt it and going to turn it into a school. Pretty much like the issue, like I said, it just kind of starts off and they introduce it to San Francisco, and we get a little situation with Mr. Sinister, who was in the last issue of Uncanny X-Men. And Cyclops is basically, you know, meeting up with his group of X-Men that he chose, which is, it's him, it's Storm, Magneto, Namor, Danger, Colossus, and Magic, and Hope. I mean, this is like kind of a weird selection of X-Men. Like, if you just look at them, like, the opening scene is they're just sitting at this table, and they're kind of like talking about, like, you know, what Cyclops is expecting from the team. If you just kind of look around, this doesn't look like the X-Men. This looks like...
Yeah, this looks like... This looks like, oh my god, this group of people is trying to take over the world!
This is like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, almost. I mean, can you question whether or not the characters that you know are, like, good guys? Like, you know, Storm, as far as I know, has never been, like, you know, like a major villain or anything. You just kind of question whether or not Storm's maybe become a bad guy.
And I forgot, yeah, it's like, of course... Yeah, it's like, this is a villain team, and somehow they have brainwashed Storm. I don't know.
I mean, because, like, even you're like, oh, we'll give Colossus is there. He's good. Oh, wait, no. Colossus is now the Juggernaut. Wait, what the hell?
Yeah. You know, everything's... Well, and that even gets referenced in the issue, because, like, at one point, Storm is like, okay, how many of us here really would never have been considered a villain? And, like, Hope and Storm and Scott raise their hand, and they all look at Scott and go, like, really? Are you really sure you should do that?
Your hand's up, Scott.
Go right up the fire, Scott.
It's like, put your hand down! Anyway.
Yeah, and he even makes reference to that, talking about how he says this team could stare gods in the eye until they blink and power corrupts. He says we have to prove that truism untrue. We're all relying on each other to make sure we remain the good guys, even if they hate us, especially if they hate us, with Magneto sitting right across from him. You know, I'm just saying, like, if Magneto's on your team, sure, he's done some good things and whatnot. For God's sakes, he's Magneto. You need to start questioning whether or not you are the good guys or not.
Well, and even later, when they start to get into the meat of the story, which is like this whole celestial thing and Mr. Sinister, which has a bit in the middle. But, you know, yeah, whatever this border, whatever this is called, I'm sorry, the peak, I guess. They're like, should we call in the Avengers? And Scott's like, bitch, please, we got this. Like, we're the X-Men. Like, really? I'm sorry? Because the Avengers they're awesome, and you're the X-Men. I don't know. You're like the villain X-Men, too. Did I miss a memo or something? Like, what the hell world am I living in?
X-Men are in a very different place.
Yeah, I'd say Scott's probably got a swelled head over the years. You know, he probably... I don't know. Maybe he considers the X-Men like a higher plane than they were. You know, the last issue of Uncanny X-Men, you can kind of see that, because he talks about how Wolverine's starting to school, and he says, I feel like we're not students anymore. You know, we've graduated. So I guess maybe that's got something to do with the way his thought process to, hey, you know, we don't need the Avengers. We're the X-Men. I mean, he even names this team. He says, we're the Extinction Team.
Yeah,
that,
like,
sounds like villains.
Yeah, because that doesn't sound...
Makes me think super villains when he says that.
Some of this, Scott desperately needs a PR person is what he needs.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know, if you call your group of mutants the Extinction Team, no one's going to like you. Like, that's just not, you know, not a good idea. I'm just going to throw that out there. Maybe you should call yourselves the Happy Fun X-Men Team. Like, if people will, you know, gravitate to that maybe or something.
But, like, basically what happens is Mr. Sinister, it looks like he decapitates the Celestial and takes control of his head, and it morphs into the face of Mr. Sinister, and I guess that makes him godlike or something. He's tapping into the Celestial's powers.
Well, it's
and
a
they, yeah, and the Celestial looks like it's dying or something, because there's a scene in which Magneto, it's a pretty badass scene actually, where Magneto has to keep it from falling apart. And they say, like, you know, Magneto, that's incredible. Are you okay? He says, I'm acting as a surrogate nervous system for a cosmic deity. If you don't resolve the situation with post-haste, expect my brains to leak from my eye sockets.
So, and I'm all like, all right, let's take lunch. That's cool.
So there's, like awesome, you know, epic stuff that happens in it. But what happens is he basically gets the head, and it looks like he uses the power of the Celestial to change... I guess that's San Francisco into a city of nothing but Mr. Sinisters.
Which is everybody an improvement.
Like that episode of Doctor Who.
It's like that episode of Doctor Who with the Master, exactly.
Yeah.
That's an improvement, I really think. I mean, I don't... really, I think it's... Sinister
suave, and he has that awesome hair, you know? He's not John Sim.
Yeah, like, I mean, all the way around, it's like, good job. You know, you've improved San Francisco... You've at least decapitated the Celestial. That's a start in dealing with it. You know, Emma Frost does the whole Bobby Drake thing and gets her arm knocked off. That's fun.
Yeah, no,
yeah, they make you think something's going to happen to her, like, I think, like, two times. He's like, oh, come on, you know, I'm smart enough to turn the diamond before it happens. And then, like, the second time, it's like, oh, crap, you know, her arm's been knocked off. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what
she's just gonna put it back. She's just gonna put it back on and then turn a human again, and will it hook back together?
It worked for Bobby. That's basically what Bobby did.
But ice you can just melt and refreeze that. She's made a diamond. I don't know what's gonna happen there.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a good issue. I liked it. I'm interested. I'm gonna keep it and keep getting for a while. It's just that between the two, I had way more fun with Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
I think this will have some great. Kooky, crazy stuff in it too that'll be awesome, and the characters aren't bad characters. Like, I mean, like I said, you know, Magneto's in the book. I like Magneto. Let's see, who else? Colossus. I'm good with Colossus. And who's? I mean, Emma Frost. Whether you like the character or not, she's fun. I mean, she's that type of character that you're gonna enjoy because all she does is insult people, and her insults are usually pretty funny. I'm just gonna say that
she insults people mostly naked. I mean. You know,
yeah,
that's
it's a win. Both, yeah.
No, I just I don't know. Like I said, it's cool and all. I just feel like I'm so far behind, and it just seems like there's this stuff I don't know. And I mean, come on. When I picked this up, I'm like, magic? She's alive? When did that happen? You know, I'm like, I really am just like so behind on the X-Men stuff. I'm just. Colossus is juggernaut.
Well, that's not this comic's fault or anything.
No, it's not. And that's why I say it's, and that's why I'm, that's the point, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make. That's why I'm not picking up. This is good stuff. It's just I am too far behind personally to read it. But it's good. And I think if you like X-Men and stuff and you're into it a little bit, you know, it'd be a perfect thing to pick up. It is a good jumping on point if you want to do the back, you know, story research stuff. It's just I'm so far out of X-Men and I realized it's like, no, it's just not my thing. I'm an Avenger guy now.
Oh, and Doc Nemesis is awesome. I'll say that because, you know, the dial's gone past 11. We need a new dial. I repeat, we need a new dial.
Not only did they make me...
I've read a little bit about Doc Nemesis. Like, I think it was, who was doing it? Was Joe Casey doing X-Men at some point? Is that his character? Did he introduce that character?
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly when Dr. Nemesis was introduced.
He showed up before Gillum started doing it, and he showed up before I can't remember who else was doing it, but I want to say that Joe Casey might have done a stint on X-Men, and maybe he was around his time. Like, I've got, like, stints of X-Men that I've read and some that I've skipped over.
Actually, here you go. Historically, he first appeared in Lightning Comics number 6 in 1941.
Well, then there you go.
And he appeared in modern.
I'm a credited character. Yeah.
He reappeared in the modern Marvel Universe in Invaders Volume 2, Number 1 in May 1993 and joined the X-Men in. Click. It's like about the early 500s. So that was still. Fraction, I think. Or was it Brubaker? Sometime around then.
I don't know, but he's just kind of he's like very Warren Ellis-y type character, and that kind of interests me. So, I liked it. I'll keep reading it.
Nice.
You know, Dr. Nemesis is getting a miniseries.
Really?
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Canceled.
Well, specifically, it's called The X Club, and it's about the X-Men science team, him and Beast and Danger and Dr. Rao. Not Beast, sorry, Beast's not on the team anymore. I forget who the other person that's on the team is, but him and Kavita Ryle and Danger.
Well, Their names are at the end of it. It's Dr. Nemesis, Kavita Rao, Madison Jeffries, and Danger. Madison Jeffries
from Alpha Flight. Okay, yeah, well, they're getting a series.
Cool.
Nice.
Miniseries.
Yeah, because they do the same thing that they did at the end of Wolverine and the X-Men. They kind of tell you who's on what team. And I'm like thinking, God, there's too many X-Men. I mean, you look at this chart. There's a dang chart.
Yeah, both the comics have that chart in the back that, like, line out the teams with the awesome little, like, people outline. And yeah, then they have, like, the variation with their powers or something to kind of give them some variation.
Like Emma Frost's little thing, it's got, like, little lightning bolts over her head. And then she's got, kind of like, you know, her tight costume.
Yeah, she's got, like, a corset and panties on.
Yeah.
On the little deal. Magneto has, like, the helmet, and you can see the cape behind him. But
Hope has a gun. You know? Like, I guess it's Cable's gun or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they're great.
The,
I mean,
the one for again, and I'm not real familiar. You know, of any of the two, I might actually keep up picking up Wolverine and the X-Men, just because I think you're right. That does have a little bit more of that school feel. And also, I'm really interested in the guy that you can see his skeleton. That's just wacky.
Yeah.
So.
And I love the little thing where, because they both have a 2-page spread of like things to come. But the one with Wolverine and the X-Men was more interesting to me because it had Frankenstein's monster and Kitty Pryde in a hospital bed with the blood tubes going into her with the X-Men miniaturized in the blood tubes. I want to read that issue bad. You know?
But yeah. this one has the Phoenix on it.
Yeah,
it's,
but the other one did
coming.
Too.
It is coming.
The other one did too, though.
Oh,
so
but,
did the Wolverine.
But it is coming.
But this had this has another Celestial. And it has
this one's got more... Namor and Emma hooking up.
Yeah, Namor and Emma making out.
Big shock.
And is that
yeah,
Warlock?
Really.
Is that like those Warlock alien looking dudes? The Phalanx. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think I remember seeing it in there.
Mm. I'd be Psylocke fighting if they're Magneto. I can't wait for that issue.
Yeah. So anyway.
Good X-Men. It's the first time in a while the X-Men have had a good, solid place to start reading. That's something the X-Men have not had for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I will. I'll decide.
It's not a bad time. I mean, because like, I got really lost in X-Men, but then I thought, well, okay, Schism sounds like the point where I can probably just say, forget the rest of the crap. Don't even bother reading it. Go into Schism, and then like after Schism, pick up both of the number ones, and I'll probably be good. Then I don't have to get X-Men Legacy, and I don't have to get Astonishing X-Men, and
you see, that's
Christ,
X-Men
too many
thing.
X-Men books.
That's actually the potential problem I think Marvel faces with this, because we literally now have X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men, Astonishing X-Men. So it's a 5 ongoing X-Men titles.
There's the X-Force also.
Well, I'm not counting. I'm not even counting satellite books for now. But basically, they've really running a terrible risk with completists, you know? Because as soon as you give a completist a reason not to pick up one book,
they're done.
That's it. That's shattered. If they don't need one book, they're going to re-examine their whole method of completism and collecting, because they're not complete anymore.
Right.
Because I used to be like, I would get like all the X-Men books there for a while, and then I got, there was too many. And then I got where the only ones I wanted were based on writers, like, you know, Joss Whedon, Grant Morrison, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, you know, Gillum and it's Jason Aaron, you know, that's like the books I want to get. But the other books, I don't really give a shit. You know what they do
it's
with
like,
them.
Like you've got Uncanny X-Men and Wolverine and the X-Men. They're the two core books. They are the books. They are the main X books. I don't really know what the mission statement of X-Men Legacy is anymore. It seems to be a book that's about giving room to tell solo stories about characters. Adjectiveless X-Men is about the X-Men interacting with the larger Marvel Universe. And Astonishing X-Men is room to give higher name creators room to just do whatever they want. And it's like, you could cut one or two of those.
Yeah. And I imagine they will. I mean, because it went so well when there was like 8 Spider-Man titles, even though they're now adding another, but...
Well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
So. Not that I wish death on it or anything, it's just the market.
Yeah, exactly.
Stopped facts lately.
Okay.
So what did you read, JD?
So, I'm doing Spider Island, right? I just want to make sure I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember what I was going to say. Okay, yes.
Sure.
So I don't know if you saw it on Friday afternoon. I tweeted that I love Dan Slott. I tweeted that because I finished reading this. If I had a vagina, I would make Dan Slott babies. I don't, so I won't.
He's gonna hold you to that.
I know. Like you said, you would get a vagina. Anyway, so this is epilogue. Now, normally, what you anticipate with an epilogue issue is fluff. I mean, a lot of times when you get an epilogue to an event like this, usually it's filled with like, oh, that was tough, wasn't it? Yeah, it was tough. I'm sure glad I was here. I'm sure glad we made it through. It's too bad we lost so-and-so. So-and-so was great. Man, how are we ever going to survive? All right, well, on to the next thing. That's usually epilogue. This, not that at all.
This is the last part.
It really is. I mean, this is just the last part of like the awesome that it is. Now, first off, what's funny? The basic arc of this is exactly like I described. I mean, it is essentially everybody, you know, kind of wrapping up the events from Spider Island. But it's how they do that and what happens that's so freaking important. But the beginning of this is just beautiful because you have everyone naked. And so you just have different people dealing with it differently. And in particular, like the heroes who are like here are just kind of like, you know, we're naked and we don't really care. You know, like Hawkeye.
I love the one with Hercules. That's great.
Oh, that's the best one. I'm getting there, sir. Before that, though, you got like, you know, Hawkeye's here and he's like, yeah, we're naked and nobody cares. You know, we don't care. Wonder why that is. And he's like, well, it's probably because we like traips around in spandex all the time, you know, a little to the imagination. But, you know, they're out here handing out pants and stuff. You see the rescue teams and the big dead carcass of the queen. But Herc's the best because he's like, can you do this?
Oh, zounds, what a glorious day. I am restored to my righteous form with good comrades by my side, a monster torn asunder, and naked people as far as the eye can see. That reminds me of the time in my Senai. Pants over here! We need pants for Hercules!
Firestar's like doing this. She's just like barely looking.
Like, yeah,
she's covering her eye.
I just love the idea that when damage control rolls up, they remember to bring pants for everybody.
Right, very important. And I mean, it's just it's a great story element too. But they even like make reference to, because even some of them are talking about like, they're like, well, wait a minute, why does that guy have glasses and why is my hair different? Yeah. And they're like, look, we live in a world where like the Hulk like grows four times his own size and his pants stay on. Like, let's just not question.
I think that's more Dan Slott. I would feel that's maybe more Dan Slott slipping that dialogue in after the art came back then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. But still, it's funny. I mean, but that's what makes Slott fun too, is because he's willing to do stuff like that. And so, like the first little bit of, I wouldn't call it a huge surprise because I think we called it. The Jackal's alive. Yeah, Queen Coley totally killed a clone.
Yeah,
which is great because especially because he's great. Sorry. The dialogue here is great because it's Jackal talking to one of his clones, of course, as they're taking like bone marrow and stuff from the body. They've like mixed in with the collection teams. And he's like, it was a clone. Of course it wasn't me. He's like, I excel at backup plans. So, but she killed you. And he's like, I'm a clone, you know, it's like, I just, you know. It's like, and the clone's like, well, there was a security panel that said that he was the original. It's like, duh, I'm a mad scientist. I'm making computers say whatever I want to. I'm like, that's just awesome. So anyway, we called that.
Of course.
I don't want to go like panel for panel here, but there's, again, of course, Eddie is completely now devoid of the anti-venom.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
What's going to happen there? Does this get to be Eddie Brock's happy ending, or is he going to get turned into Venom again?
I think he's going to get turned into
Flash's series almost invariably gets canceled with issue 15.
Well, and they kind of hinted at it too, that you know that that may be the case. So, yeah, there's definitely some question as to what's going to happen to Eddie. Also, Kane takes off. He talks to Madame Web and ends up. I guess they don't really say where he's going, do they?
No, he's just going.
So I don't know if he's going to another coast, another city, you know, another country.
He's going to star in Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, I don't think there's could there be any question at this point.
There's a nice moment in here where, I mean, and this has happened several times over the course of Spider-Man, so it's not anything new, but it's nice to put in here where, you know, an everyday citizen says, you know, I didn't like you, Spider-Man, but now you're okay. Which happens basically after every time Spider-Man saves the city from something. So the big thing in here, as we get to, like, the big reveals and plot elements of this issue...
I didn't see this coming.
No, I really didn't.
I mean, they kind of hinted that this... I think they had hinted at it, but I think we had all hoped it wouldn't happen for sure. So Peter comes home, and Carly is packing up her shit. She is really pissed off at Peter because she has surmised that Peter is Spider-Man. And he, you know, tries to tell her no, and she is absolutely emphatic. And so, I mean, to the point where she's like, you know, the last decent thing you could do is at least be honest enough to say that you are Spider-Man, which he does. And
yeah, she's got that history where everybody that was close to her has kept secrets from her.
Right.
Like her dad.
And lied to her, and she's,
Yeah,
and so it's like honesty had been the thing that she thought was most important, you know, and... to find out that Peter, you know, is Spider-Man, you know, it's not like that was the problem. It's that he kept that from her and now she can't trust him because it's like, who knows what else. And, you know, so she leaves, she's gone. Now you're saying to yourself, okay, but that's a huge problem, right? Because we had all those events of, one more day after tomorrow and the next day and all the stuff that's supposed to, I think I just made Triplett about choke on his drink there. But
one moment in time in the days of our lives. We'll
one,
say that.
Yeah. One, these of the one moment of our time. So, but anyway, so we had all those events and the whole incantation thing that, Doctor Strange did was supposed to keep people from figuring out Peter was Spider-Man, like at all. Like, unless Peter looks you in the eye and says, I'm Spider-Man, you don't know it. You can't figure it out. You can't, you know, whatever. Yeah. You're not supposed to be able to put the pieces together. So, so Peter goes to the Avengers Mansion and calls on Doctor Strange and is like, WTF, my girlfriend figured out I'm Spider-Man and I've been careful and she still figured it out. What the hell? And so Doctor Strange says, well, you goofed because you made that web. you Parkered it up, didn't you? Because he made the whole web video where he was like, you know, saying that he had spider powers. And even though he didn't completely come out and say that he was Spider-Man, it weakened that like aura of protection. It weakened that spell.
It's like, you know, revealing yourself is revealing yourself. There's right. No gray area there.
Right. So Peter's like, so what? Now everybody knows I'm Spider-Man. He's like, no. They'll only know if they figure it out, but they'll figure it out. They're not going to like retroact. It doesn't break it entirely. It just means that they can figure it out now, which is perfect. Dan Slott is a genius, people. Like, you have to see the genius in this because at the point at which the Spider-Man world was at the, you know, up until this point, you had this weird story element that you had to explain where like people just could not figure out that Peter was Spider-Man. Like that was just going to be the case. No one would know that because they couldn't figure it out because of magic. And so you couldn't have normal story elements where Peter had to like hide his identity. He was essentially doing it for no reason because he didn't have to. He was just doing it because that seemed like the normal thing to do. But now what Dan Slott has done is actually revert the comic back to a normal character where, you know, now they're just like, he's just like anybody else. They've undone all of the crazy stuff that happened in Civil War where he, you know, revealed his identity to the world. Essentially, they've undone that part and then undone enough of the spell that it makes him normal. Yay. We don't have to deal with freaking magic in Spider-Man anymore. Dan Slott is a genius, people. Genius. I mean, I literally like cheered after like I read that because it was just like it's just a brilliant piece of writing. It was a beautiful way for a writer to give tribute to what came before, even though that is debatable on the quality, but actually like write a convenient and reasonable way out of it.
It's one of the last few things lingering over from that little period of time that needs to be cleared out that has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he made it so that like there's a real danger somebody could figure out who he is again. I mean, oh my God, you really gotta be careful.
It can't possibly be. It can't be too long before somebody at Horizon Labs catches on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the thing, and like it's one of the reasons that Peter has kept a low profile for so long. Essentially, you know, is because he was worried about people figuring out his identity. And I think that now that that aura of protection is gone, it may end up affecting his job at Horizon. So. So we'll see. We get some ominous words from Madam Webb to kind of end this off, where it seems like there's going to be yet another loss for Peter, although she's not very clear on what that is going to be.
That's a great scene.
There is kind of
sorry for the loss. He says, "Really? That's how you use your the future powers? Measure? Really? You can see that in the future? Can you see a few seconds in the future when I'm mooning you? I'm mooning you with my spider butt. Can you see that?"
Yeah. But there was kind of a little bit of a running gag here where, like, Peter kept going through the episode going, "I know I'm forgetting something." And what it was to take MJ's powers because he had forgot to inject her with the venom stuff from the spider bot. But he remembered. And that was part of what this conversation with Madam Webb was, is it was a little bit of a bait and switch where you're supposed to think that he may use it on himself. And Madam Webb.
Yeah, I was going to say, did anybody think that he was going to use it on himself?
Not really.
No, seriously. Even a little.
No,
you kind of
supposed
to think maybe, but nobody ever believed Spider-Man would do that.
I don't know that I even did, you know, in that sense. I figured he was getting it for MJ anyway. But he does take her powers, and they, of course, you know, have a conversation about Carly, and then we see that there was a moment earlier in here where Jameson is talking about how he felt about Spider-Man, and then we see at the end of this that the Eiffel Tower is lit up in blue and red.
The Eiffel Tower?
Eiffel Tower? Is that what I said?
You mean Empire State?
Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Empire State Building. It has an E. I'm just going to...
The French Spider-Man would
be the French Spider-Man. Zounds! Anyway, yes, the Empire State Building is lit up in red and blue. And for Spidey.
Yay.
Which I think is pretty much the mayor saying thanks. Also, Carly has a Spider-Man tattoo. I'm just going to point that out.
Yeah, she's going to have to live with that.
Yeah, that'll be a
problem. So how long
start.
Do you think before Spidey and MJ hook back up?
Pretty quick. I don't think they're
Is that the direction we're headed in here? But will we let the corpse of the relationship just cool off first or what? You know,
I don't know.
Is it too obvious? Are we going to get something else? Where are we going here? You know, and who did what to Joe Quesada to allow this to happen? Well, I suppose he's not editor-in-chief anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, it seemed like part of Joe's problem was that, you know, Peter being tied down in like a marriage. And I think that was some of what did that. I mean, so many superheroes have relationships and you just can't get around that. And I think that especially with another Spider-Man movie coming up and stuff, you know, I don't think it's a big deal, and I think that it would be nice to see a Peter and MJ relationship again. That's just something you can't take out of the, you know, like social consciousness.
Brian made a comment about this, like when he was talking about after you read the issue, and he said like when he first started reading Spider-Man, they were married, and like for the majority of the time that he's read Spider-Man, MJ's always been like such an important character in life. So it's are they going to do it again or not? You know, it's kind of nice because it's kind of like coming back to stuff that we're used to, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of interesting. Like I don't think that they're going to go straight into a relationship, but it's going to be out there. You know, it's going to be maybe they're going to be a little bit closer now. But you know, there's always, you know, hey, Black Cat's still around. You know, no one's going to know about that. You know?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a possibility as well. I think they may play with that, you know, for a while. I do hope that they don't go straight into it, you know.
Yeah.
I would prefer if there's a little bit more, you know, at least if Peter was a little bit gun-shy, because, again, with the ability for his identity to be revealed, I think his his, you know, and it's not that he hasn't been protective up to this point, but I think it's going to cause him to be more cautious than he was. I think that would make sense story-wise. So I don't know. But, you know, again, it all depends on where editorial wants to go. They've got a movie coming out. Who knows what they want to do with that. So,
But Dan Slott's done just such a great job of, like, teasing you that they're going to get back together and that he doesn't even really have to have them get back together. He points you in that direction where you want to see them get back together, sort of, but you also, you're not sure you want to see them. I mean,
For the third week in a row, I am going to make a Friends reference and say it's like Ross and Rachel, you know, because for 10 years, where it was nothing but, are they going to get together? Oh, they're together. Oh, they're not together again. Oh, they're going to get together. Oh, no, they're not together again. 10 years they did that on that show. And, you know, it made an interesting plot point. So maybe that's what we'll see here. We'll see like a Ross and Rachel thing out of Peter and MJ.
Certainly, I think we're at a point in time now where we can probably never expect Mephisto's alteration of history to be altered back.
No. And I think that, I mean, you know, yeah.
There was a time when I thought it would, though. There was a time when I thought this wasn't going to last. I thought, like, you know, this is like a year, 2 year type story, and then they're going to, okay, when sales drop down, they're going to switch it back. But, hey, we got past that point, and it kept going, and it's really good, and I don't know what sales are, but, hey, I really don't want them to go back, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I want it to go back completely. I mean, there's certainly, I think there's a difference mentally between...
You know what that might mean in, like, 10 years from now, we get the second wedding of Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
That's kind of, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of where I would think. It's like, I'm more interested now in seeing, like, a courtship between MJ and Peter again, you know, as a side story. Not so much, like, them immediately being married and everything again. So, anyway, it's interesting. So, anyway, good stuff. Spider Island.
Spider Island over now.
What an event.
What the heck happens next? You know? I mean, this is the thing that all events should model themselves by, honestly. Yep. We have had so many events this year that have been pure dump compared to this comparatively minor little thing that was going on in the background while the complete reshuffle of the X-Men as well. I was going to start out with the complete reshuffling of the X-Men that was happening, and Fear itself was not happening, and Flashpoint was just farting its way along there. And, events have we had this year?
It had everything that you want. I mean, it had intrigue, it was interesting, it had some good story points, it brought back characters that you wouldn't expect to come back, and they actually did cool and interesting things. And then it ended with, you know, a good ending where you felt good, you felt, you know, honest about where it ended, but also has left some nagging questions and, you know, has certainly left some plot. I mean, you know, now we know about Morpheus. Now we know that, you know, again, the Jackal is still alive and out there. So that element is into play. What's going to happen to Eddie? What's going to happen to Kane? So it's
amazing. There's so many. Yeah, there's so many threads left for stories to happen. And yet, even the event itself was just fantastically tight and focused. I think trying to expand the scope of that would probably have ruined it. Mm-hmm. The limited scope that it had with all the tie-ins that it did have, you know, really, there really wasn't a bad Spider Island tie-in, and that's the really impressive thing. But it's one of those great showcases for everything that is right and good about the character of Spider-Man, you know. Yeah, compare X-Men to Doctor Who there, but I mean, I wasn't on last week when you talked about the final chapter. I got a real Doctor Who vibe off of that double page spread where he's got the hat on and I'm gonna cure everybody, and it's like, yeah, you are. Yeah. Yeah, you are, Spidey. Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah. God bless America.
It so was that. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, thinking about that, it was so was. Everybody lives. You know, it was
everybody
definitely.
Everybody lives.
Yeah.
Just this once. That's totally. That's a really vibe of that off of it. It's like good triumphs in every way. This is, you know, that's really the story. There's no, oh my God, Thor is dead. Oh, Bucky's dead. Oh, the world is in ruins. There's some naked people and a dead spider in the middle of New York. That's it, you know.
Exactly.
Island was good. Spider Island was a triumph of all things positive. Oh God, yeah. Spidey's girlfriend broke up with him. Nobody really liked her anyway. Whoopee. Like, but you know, that's that little, I mean, you can't have a truly victorious Spider-Man story where, you know, he wins the moral and heroic and the battle. But, you know, he loses.
And the Parker Luck shows up.
The Parker, yeah. You know, he's got a little Parker Luck in there, you know. You know, yeah. You know, Slot giveth and Slot taketh away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get the Hobgoblin's head chopped off. Well, you got a new Hobgoblin.
Yeah. He said, so, you know. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Next week, I believe, our next issue is a Secret Six issue.
Ooh.
Like it's an all Secret Six. No, wait, I tell a lie, though. It's a Vulture issue next issue. I think the Secret Six issue is a couple of issues down the line. Yet.
Secret Six or Sinister?
Sinister Six. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
That would be epic.
Excited for it. It's like, what the? Oh.
Yeah. No, sorry. This is the original Vulture coming back now as well after the Punisher. After the Punisher shot the stupid, ugly mutant one to death over in his comic.
He knifed him to death, too.
He just sorted him out. There were no problems with that. Gave Spidey such a hard freaking time. Punisher was just like, and it was all sorted.
By the way, that Punisher book's been very good lately. I've been enjoying it.
Okay, so I guess that's on to you, Chris.
Yeah, well, I don't have any new number ones or anything particularly significant to talk about this week, so I'm going to touch on Action Comics again, because this thing is just awesome still. What the hell?
Yep.
This issue sees the art duty split between Rags Morales and Gene Ha, and, you know, the last issue's art duties were split as well, so I'm really starting to wonder if Rags Morales is going to manage to bang out another full monthly issue. But that's kind of irrelevant in this instance, because Ha's art is limited to flashback sequences to Life on Krypton, so that works. Separate art style for a separate scenario totally works. Superman, Clark, I should say, really, he's not really Superman. Clark dreams of when he was a baby, attending like a party with his mother in Kandor. And he arrives just as, well, they don't name names, but an alien consciousness that's been allowed into the Kryptonian data network by Professor Van Da generates robots called Terminauts. That began to hit, they seem to be destroying Kandor, you know. Clark and his mom get out, so it's all good. But if you're paying attention...
I wonder who's doing that.
I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, you don't?
No, I do. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? With your Superman, you don't know. Yeah, but you notice that if you're paying attention, it notices they commence dwarf star lensing on Kandor. And a dwarf star lens is what Ray Palmer, the Atom, uses to shrink with, so... That's how you know they're shrinking Kandor. And of course, everybody knows Brainiac shrank Kandor. So our Brainiac beliefs are still holding true. Clark, then we cut into the Morales stuff in the present day, where Clark's apartment is searched by, what's that detective's name? I've forgotten it already.
Pain in the ass, I think.
Yeah. Blake, the inspector that we met in the first issue, who's tracking Superman and who really thinks Clark knows something that he's not letting on, but manages to not open the duffel bag containing the cape.
I like to call him, I'm 2 weeks away from retirement, because I don't know what else to call him.
I'm getting too old for this crap! The mayor is on his ass! But it seems Clark's landlady knows. I mean, she seemed like a little bit of an odd duck in the first issue, but it seems like she just takes a little look inside his duffel bag after the inspector leaves and just knows from looking at it.
Yeah.
But the world is in a real uproar about an anti-Superman sentiment.
Yay!
Charge against him. And this is, this is, again, it's the sort of story you would expect a modern interpretation of Superman to go with, the anti-alien sentiment. It's the kind of the X-Men-y sort of way. Mm-hmm. I think buried in here is some of the most interesting elements. Is we see Clark on the phone again, but we didn't really think anything of it when Clark was on the phone in the first issue. He said he was going to talk to his editor, and we just, had no reason to assume that wasn't what he was doing. But, you know, he's on the phone here, and... It turns out that whoever this is on the phone, Clark doesn't know who it is. And this person has access to information that is not properly known. Which is, I remember we were quite confused when we read the first issue, when we were like, well, how does his editor know that this is happening right now, or that this is something that shouldn't be happening? See, when we read the first issue, we were like, why is it what is going on? Like, it was like something had happened. Like, this train shouldn't be running or whatever. Like there was something strange going on. But why did this normal person on the other end of the phone know? Hey, well, turns out it's not. Somebody else on there, something mysterious going on. Not the
he
only
calls
guy.
Him Icarus? Icarus is what he calls him?
Well, I don't
is
know that if that's right? supposed to be a code word or something. I've missed you, yeah. What's up? And then Clark says in quote marks, Icarus, and I don't know.
It says Icarus.
Supposed... Yeah, I don't know if that's just supposed to be a metaphor for his situation where he's tried to fly high as a superhero and has just come crashing down, or if it's supposed to be some kind
know.
Of code word to confirm the conversation. You will, of course, remember that this is Lex Luthor is also talking to a disembodied voice that he doesn't know the true identity of on a phone as well. So that's an interesting parallel. Yes, I mean, I doubt that it is Brainiac on the other end of the phone. But, I mean, it was. I'm pretty sure it was for... I mean, we basically get the confirmation that the well, Clark goes on this... goes to this... what's the name of this company? Well, the Factory for Tomorrow is the name of the...
Yeah, that Hope for... Oh,
such
yeah.
a Jack Kirby-ish sort of name for something.
Oh, come on. The other character's name here is Glenn Morgan. I mean, come on, that's awesome.
yeah, but like, he's replacing all... Well, so we also find out that the bullet train crash and the bomb and everything, which we were so puzzled about, was actively set up to kill Guns Grundig, the enforcer who was on there that Lois was trying to interrogate. So we're getting the clarification for the things we were a little confused with in the first issue. That's good. I should have known that this would all be... It just seemed very self-contained and I wasn't sure, but there definitely is there was something more to those all along, and I should have been more sure about that when I read them, because it's Morrison and I should have known. But he's also using this as an excuse to blame human operators as being outmoded and dangerous and replacing them with robot drivers. So Clark and Lois and Jimmy visit the factory where these robots are being constructed, and well, wouldn't you know, out of the system come clambering Terminauts. Your planet's database has been copied and filed. In advance of imminent destruction and the extinction of all life, Terminauts will preserve significant artifacts. The Terminauts have arrived. Simultaneously! Over at the Steel Soldier Project. I really didn't think we would go into this just as quickly as we did, but John Corbin has strapped himself into this Steel Soldier exoskeleton. And you know what the cute thing is? That he shaved his mustache since Lois complained about it last issue?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I grew this mustache for you, Lois. And she said, whatever. And he's like, oh, God. You could see him crying into his mirror as he shaved it. It actually has it's a great little swerve, because you really do just figure it's going to go, and here's Metallo. But no, as he's here and being hooked into this thing, a spinal bond and everything, it's terrible. The intelligence behind the Terminauts comes into his brain through the computer and takes over him. They also note that his heart explodes, so it'll be ripe to just fit a piece of kryptonite in there and we'll have
Metallo. We're all good for that. Yep.
But no, this is not Metallo right now. This is... Well, we're going to assume it's Brainiac. I mean, we also find, you know, when the intelligence starts speaking through Brainiac, I am the voice of the colony of the Collector of Worlds. And then Lex Luthor comes forward. Well, then maybe may I be the first to welcome you to planet Earth. You and I made a bargain, remember? So this Collector of Worlds is the voice that Lex has been conversing with on the phone.
Yeah.
You know... It's just great. All of these, you know, these things coming together a lot faster than you would have probably expected them to. There's still lingering questions, but you know, once again, there definitely is a bigger picture here that we don't have the full scope of yet. You know, we still have to figure out who the two people who came to Clark's apartment in the first issue were, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting rendition of Krypton we get in Ha's artwork at the start, which is very nice, by the way, it must be said. Oh, and there's an interesting note dropped. Where is it?
Yeah, I didn't realize it's Gene Ha that did the art on that. That's awesome.
It is nice. When Clark is just sitting on a park bench with his laptop, there's an old woman with a... Well, presumably it's an old woman. You can't really tell, but it's a homeless person anyway. Just quietly says to him, there's a ghost watching over you. There's a white dog. Now, I heard it said somewhere that it's been said by DC at some panel or something that Crypto was supposed to have been in the rocket with Clark and that he died and he was that weird little goat thing that they wheeled out in issue 2.
Yeah, I wondered that.
I figured that at the time, but I wasn't sure. But hey, what's this ghost stuff?
Yeah.
No.
You know, there's something going on.
And Superman saved a cat.
What?
Superman saved a cat?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, he saved a cat.
That's just one of those
things. He saved a cat, and then people started, like, throwing things.
I know, but that's why I love it. Because it's like, there is this sort of, it's sort of like the other, it's like Superman's version of what happened with, like, Aquaman. Where it's like, some people's version is like, Superman is like rescuing cats from trees and nonsense. And so it's like, here's Superman rescuing a cat, a girl and a cat.
Get your filthy alien hands off our Earth cats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then like people turning on him and shit. So it's like, you know, that was like really nice for me. But
it's not like it's an idea that hasn't been touched upon.
And he threw his costume away.
Yeah, put it in the bin.
His costume's in a waste basket. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he'll be able to get that back without too much difficulty.
Now, notice he didn't throw away the cape, just the shirt and the boots.
Yeah, the cape's the security bank. You know?
I know, it's his binky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's solid. You know, it's a good, this is a good, I mean, it's what you'd expect out of Morrison, too. I mean,
it's definitely the middle chapter of something larger that's going on, but, you know, I'm all proud. I think I've come to the conclusion that Action Comics is my favorite of the new 52. I tell you what I'm not impressed with, though. I'm really not impressed with the backup stuff. You know, I'm paying $4 for this, and DC promises me I'm going to get 30 pages of content or whatever, or 28 pages of content, or 26, whatever it is, you know.
No, it's, this is, and, yeah.
I was okay with the, you know, the first issue had like 26 pages or something. I was, whatever length it was, I was fine with it. The second issue, 20-page story, but then it had like creator's commentary on the first issue with Morrison and Morales. I was cool with that. I was fine. And we basically get 8 pages of ads for the other super books. You know what? I'm not buying them. I'm not going to. I don't give a fuck. Do not charge me for this. I would mind if it was just bonus in there without extra any extra charge. But they're using this rubbish to justify the extra buck. None of this. And thankfully, we know that there's going to be a Steel backup in the next issue anyway, so that's okay. But
yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But this is not,
I never want to see this again. I'm perfectly okay with Morrison and Morales doing something like this and just talking about the concepts that they're working with and this director's comment, creator commentary on the preceding issue or whatever. I don't want to see this anymore. This is these books have nothing.
I'm surprised they're still doing the you know, the number ones also, because there's like Green Arrow and this like international number one.
Well,
at the end of it,
I think they're still trying. I mean, as from an ad standpoint, I think they're still trying to get people on board for some of the other issues.
And I mean, obviously, that's what the Superman thing is. But you're not charging everybody for the other pages in the other comics.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with that at all.
Yeah.
These two, like the ad that's in the back of this, is like for the Jurgen titles, like the Green Arrow and Justice League International. Which, like I said, I read JLI. JLI was good.
Yeah, it's all right.
There was a fun moment in it. Like, I think one of my favorite moments is Godiva and August General and Iron were on a mission together. And she was like, they were falling or something, and she goes to grab onto him. She's like, I'm going to try not to rip off your armor. And he's like, it is not armor. He's like, that's just like your skin? He's like, really, we got other stuff going on. I don't really want to get into it. this is great. But yeah, so awesome.
No, I would just definitely say Action Comics has fast become one of my favorites. My favorite from the new 52. I actively look forward to each new issue. I get excited several days in advance of the arrival of a new issue of Action Comics now. And I don't know what bizarro world I'm living in where that is the case.
Yeah, I don't it's hard for me. Like, I don't know that I really have. Like, I mean, even JLI, which is something that's totally up my alley because it's Booster. You know, I can't say I'm like, oh, it's JLI. You know, it's, I don't know. It's very odd for me.
It's that and Batwoman, I think, are the top two for me.
Maybe Batwoman. Yeah, I'd say Batwoman is probably my favorite at this point. That's probably it. So awesome.
I've been reading Batwoman, and I like the art, but I don't know. I don't know about the story. It just seems kind of...
I don't know. I think the story is just as good as anything Bucket did. Just as good as anything Rucka did in his first four issues. Those three issues with the origin story are going to be, you know, they're tough to top. But, you know, and the cover of the next one looks like Alice might be involved in it as well. So I'm coming back around to that. So I'll be actively looking for, I think that's out next week, actually. So I'll be looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to our final review.
Woo!
Which is Avengers Academy, first issue. Ding! Of a new era.
Of a new era.
Hey, I'm buying that now.
So, We managed to get Chris Triplett on board with this, so now that's good. So I guess, Chris, we'll let you guide us through this, if you will.
You guys talked about the last issue last week.
Yes, we did.
So following on from that, we know that the Hank and Tigra have moved the compound out to the former, or have moved the academy to the former compound of the West Coast Avengers and opened up the academy doors. For all these new characters to come in, and I'm like, oh my god, look at all the new characters! Ah, Justin Seyfert from Sentinel is in this comic. I didn't think anybody remembered he existed except me.
Spider Girl.
I remember that character, but I didn't know the name of that character. I was like, I remember there was somebody with a Sentinel, but who was that?
That daughter of the Hulk person
that nobody cares about. Who else?
And they're playing tug of war. Come
Justin,
on.
Arachne, Butterball, Lyra, Batwing, Rocket Racer, White Tiger. I think that's Machine Teen there playing basketball. Machine Teen, star of a 5-issue miniseries from 6 years ago that nobody gave a shit about.
The most important character, which Brian will love this, is, what's his name, Ricochet? One of the Spider-Man?
Ricochet! Ooh, yeah, I love Ricochet. I am all about Ricochet being in this, so if he could get some dialogue next issue, I'd like that very much. Thank you, Mr. Gage. We could just push him into the spotlight. If he could be, like, the main star. Of fucking love Ricochet.
And Batgirl, or Spider-Girl. Yay, Spider-Girl is... She's got something. Hey,
seems like most of the loners have actually joined up. Ricochet and Penance is there, and Torpedo and Lightspeed. I think that's all of them. And the only people who aren't here would be Darkhawk and, well, Phil Urich's the Hobgoblin now. Darkhawk was Darkhawk was doing something recently, but no, Darkhawk really, really wants to jack superheroics in, which is why he's not here. It was the Loners, a 5-issue miniseries that spun off from a Runaways story a couple of years ago. Hmm. Worth your time, kids. So, anyway, what's going on? So despite all of that, this story is still very much about our main characters, who are afraid that they are on the verge of being kicked out of the academy now that all the hot new young things are here. And Metal punches Luke Cage.
Which is awesome. I was like, oh my god! Holy crap, knocked him out.
If you expect anybody to go off there, you know, you expect it to be Hazmat or Stryker were the ones who were going to lose their crap. Like, but Metal, little soft, delicate Metal is the one who loses it, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, like, and not just, like, hit him. I mean, on the ground, choking him. Like...
Mm, it's right on there.
Yeah, I mean, just went crazy. Yeah, this escalated into insanity fast. I was like, oh, man, it has hit the fan. This is not good for the kids.
I just think there's always probably a greater thing with Metal as well, because, you know, Metal has the same powers as Luke Cage, but Luke Cage is the one who gets to be huge and strapping and handsome, and Metal winds up looking like a red skull.
Mm, yeah.
There are deeper issues involved there that maybe set Metal off, you know? I love Metal. Need more Metal. Oh, poor Metal. Oh, speaking of poor Metal, the next page, you know. Just because they're worried about what's going to happen next. Hazmat returns to... she said to him whenever they were on the academy and they figured they were going to die that there were things she wished she'd done. And he's like, well, what are you saying? And it's time she got out of this suit.
Oh.
Sounds like first issue.
It all went wrong. She couldn't. And Metal is like, she says it's not you, but you know that's gonna help poor Metal. Oh, poor Metal.
Man, poor guy.
But what else is going on in this issue? Just all sorts of things. You know, everybody apologizes and everybody makes nice in the end, and it's firmly established that Lightspeed and the new White Tiger will be the ones, like, taking the center stage with the other characters.
Jocasta totally mouths off, which is awesome.
Hmm?
Yeah, Jocasta's acting.
Jocasta, like, mouths off to Hank, which is awesome.
She's got that all bottled up.
I know, it's all great. He's like, go hang out with the kids and see what's wrong. She's like, I will, and I'll report back to you, and then you'll do whatever the hell you want to.
Yeah.
They're like, huh?
She's a robot, right? But yeah, Jocasta is actually the well. I don't know if I don't want to blow the end of this, frankly. Something happens, and there's a pretty surprising twist in the end here. That
surprising, surprising, shocking,
happen,
like
actually.
Totally unexpected, blown away, like holy crap ending. You mean?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I just really can't say too much about it, but it's definitely going to set the stage for anything and everything that comes next, you know. But I don't think it's not going to bloom right away, you know. This is definitely slightly longer term, you know. Magneto's dropping by next issue, and X-23's joining in the issue after that. So this is going to bubble under for a while, this new threat that has emerged.
This is messed up. Messed up. I don't even know. Dude, like, I turned that page, and I was just like, what? What?
I know. I figured it was a shapeshifter.
Oh, man. It's worse than that. Like, that would have been like, oh, okay, they can deal with this. This is not good.
This is really going to be it's hard to say without ruining it, because I don't want to ruin it, because people should really pick this up. This is the first issue of a new era. Very, very accessible. You really don't need to know anything about what's going before to jump
That's
on.
That's why I picked it up.
Well, it is nice to know one thing before, in order to get that last bit. Because if you don't know that thing, like if you've never read Avengers Academy, you don't know anything about it, you're going to turn that last page and be like, what?
Well, these the characters haven't appeared before, you know. They just sort of did. But it's a real question of it'll be very much a metaphorical fighting of their own destinies whenever that plot comes to a thread, which is of course what Avengers Academy is all really about.
Yeah.
You know, this conflict is going to be a metaphorical representation of the inner conflict that is what drives Avengers Academy. So it's going to lead to something pretty huge.
I think all that stuff will be awesome. I just hope we get an issue where it crosses over with Wolverine and the X-Men, and they have that softball game or
That's
whatever they were talking about.
Totally in favor of this. So we already know we're getting Runaways crossover soon.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we gotta get Magneto next issue, and then I think it's X-23 and issue 20. X-23 in the issue after that, and I think the Runaways are guest starring in the issue after that. So I'm set. I'm good for the rest of the year. Thanks.
Yep.
Just give Justin and Ricochet some more panel time.
You know, it's funny too, because Christos Gage, like on Twitter, I mentioned this last week, was like apologizing for like all the issues that are coming out in this month. I'm like, are you nuts?
Why like, would you apologize? I mean, like,
this is great. Like,
you know, I legitimately refuse to believe that somebody cannot scrape together an extra 70 cents a week.
Yeah.
Anybody who has the disposable income to buy comics at all cannot just find 70 cents in a week.
Well, especially for this.
For one extra comic, for one of the best comics Marvel is putting out.
Marvel's starting to tip the scale with me. Starting to win me over.
Were you reading the right books?
I mentioned not a year ago that you know, I was feeling a little DC heavy, and now I'm feeling a little Marvel heavy. So.
Well, Marvel just got the quality coming. See, these are the lower, like Journey of Mystery, Daredevil, Avengers Academy. These are those slightly lower rung books that need the love. And it's like if you're exhausted with event after event, or whatever's going on over in the latest Avengers title, or you know, whatever catastrophes facing the X-Men, of course that's a bit outmoded now because the X-Men are spending things around, but you know, these are the quiet books, the quiet ones that are just happening just off center of everything else that's going on, doing their own thing and just pumping out really excellent stories. These, you know, Avengers Academy, Daredevil, Journey into Mystery, Amazing Spider-Man, FF, really. That's, I would, the top five Marvel books, so far as I'm concerned. Man, and last week,
no
what
doubt.
Did we get? We got Avengers Academy, Fantastic, FF, and Journey into Mystery, and Amazing Spider-Man, all in the same week.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, that was, yeah.
You guys talked, you didn't really talk about Journey into Mystery last week, did you?
No, I mean, it was definitely a good issue.
Because, oh, my God, we'll take.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would. We were missed it not having you here, because that definitely would have been right up your alley. Speaking of up your alley, we'll kind of end the show. Have you gotten to play DC Universe Online very much?
I have it there, but I haven't played it yet.
Ah, okay.
I probably totally meant to, but did these Riddler trophies just
The Arkham Asylum thing, yeah. So we'll mention that did go free to play just this week.
Yeah. It did.
So I am playing on the PC. There's four servers basically, and those are linked. But so it's like there's US PC servers, US PS3 servers, EU PS3 servers, and EU PC servers. So I'd assume you're on the EU PS3 server, right?
I just legitimately don't know. It's sitting there on the PlayStation, but
so how does it work? Because I saw it pop up on the PS3 where you could do free to play. Do you have to have the disc or just download it?
You can download
the client,
it.
I guess. And
you download the client.
Because it was like I looked at it. I was like, it's 18 gigabytes. That will take me like a month.
I know. You know? It was four. It's 14 gigs for the PC side, and it took like 4 hours. You know, and I've got a pretty fast connection. So yeah, it'll take a while to load on PS3. If you've got a PC, that's a interesting go. Although I will say the controls do feel like they were designed more for the PS3. Than
well,
it
is a Parma Mug, so those are PC territory, you know.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I made my character and I went through the Brainiac construct thing, and so now I'm kind of out in the world. So.
Yeah. So is it worth it to play? Is it worth
it's
it
free.
To do?
I mean,
yeah, I know, but but it's not just because something's free doesn't mean it's worth my time.
I'll be honest, like I said, I mean,
how much do you value your time?
Yeah, really.
It's pretty high.
So, I mean, at this point, I haven't really gotten anywhere into the game. I mean, like, I have my first actual quest and stuff. It seems like they fixed some of the issues that I had, which, you know, I put on some equipment and it didn't change my look too bad, or at least had the option to not have it affect my look, which is good. Cause you go through this whole process to like create your character and your image and how you look and everything. And then you start picking up gear and it changes it if you don't like do the settings right. So I was a little pissed, but you can turn all that off, I think. So it looks pretty cool. There's a lot of options as far as your character customization. You could really not only make your character look like you want to, but, you know, choosing power sets and things, you can really kind of play with it. I mean, you can make an exact duplicate of Booster Gold if you want, you know, basically, woo! Or, you know, or just make your own thing. Good.
Is it free to a point, like level 10 or something?
Nope.
Is that how they get away with it being
free to play? What they've done is they've limited your ability to interact in a way. So if you play the free version, you only get 2 character slots, so you can only make 2 characters. You get a limited amount of vault space, and you cannot trade either money or items with other players. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, like right off the bat, especially if you're used to like solo play and, you know, playing games on your own. You will find out very quickly in an MMO how valuable it is to be able to trade money, trade items, and to have multiple characters. So I think it's something that I think that for someone that's played a lot of MMOs, it's going to get old quick, and they're either going to quit or pony up the money to, you know, to get more. You can pay smaller amounts and get more. If you actually pay and get a full subscription, you actually get the update, you get the expansions and stuff for free. So they already have like the first expansion, which is the light pack out, where you can get like Green Lantern and Yellow Lantern style powers. So that's available, but you have to have a paid version to get that, so, or pay for it or whatever. So, but it's cool. I'm going to check it out maybe a little bit more. I didn't have a lot of time this week, but I'll check it out more. So if you end up playing on the US PC servers, let me know, and you can DM me or something on Twitter, and I can get you my name,
we'll,
or whatever.
Sort it out somehow.
Yeah, figure out how to hook up. So cool. All right. Well, there you go. That's our show. Family Versus. We're live every Sunday, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT time.
Y'all got to get the Marvel .1 one-shot next week.
Yeah, that's the big thing that's coming out next week.
That'll be our talking point next week.
Yeah,
y'all gotta get.
Ooh, we're gonna make sure
it's like
that.
It's like $6 or something.
Oh goodness.
Jeez,
big. Louis. Yeah, it's big.
I don't know. That sounds kind of okay. I'll buy it. But yeah, so anyway, cool. Again, we always like feedback, so you can send us feedback at contact@tfradio.net. Email link is on the website. Tell us if you like the show. Don't comment in the YouTube channel or anywhere where you find the show. Comments as well. So, you know, we like feedback. We get some feedback. We always appreciate our live listeners as well. Don and Cassius joined us this week, so thanks for chatting around. Anyway, that's the show. Next week we should have Nicole back, and I will not be here next week.
Oh my God, what are we gonna do?
Just remember, but Brian will be filling in. I don't know if he's gonna be on the show, but he's at least gonna produce. So maybe someone else will host.
I'll host
the show. Okay, that works for me.
I second that.
So yeah, I'm sure you would, sir. So
I'll try anyway. I did that once before, didn't I?
Be my my grandmother's 90th birthday party we're having. So
hooray!
Yes.
Hooray.
So it's proof that if you're really crotchety, then you can just get older and older. anyway, just kidding, Granny. I love you. That's it. That's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus.
This has been Fanboy versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.